الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. If a person looks at the life, one of the themes that they'll notice is that almost inevitably, every day, perhaps every hour, perhaps even every minute is full of different circumstances or certain different types of occasions that affect a person or that a person has to traverse or encounter as they progress through life. Every day, right? So many different types of situations a person has to go through. And generally, there's a binary output. Sometimes there's what we would say a good outcome, and sometimes there's not so good of an outcome. Right? Generally, the way that we think, sometimes when after we go through a life event or any type of circumstance or situation, we say that, you know, that turned out well or it didn't turn out well. So throughout the day, there's so many things that occur. Many of those things that occur are according to what one desires. And many of those things that occur may be against what one wants or what one desires or what one hopes for or what one aspires for. So you have both sides, right? Day in, day out. Now if you ask someone, how are things going? Right? How's life going? Usually when people give an answer, they sort of look and they create this algorithm when they look at how many things are going according to what they like in their life or what they want. And if things are generally going according to what they like or what they desire, then they say, hey, things are going good. Right? Alhamdulillah, things are going good. Because things are going the way that they desire for them to go. And if things aren't going according to their desire and someone asks them how things are going, they're like, I'm sorry, man, maybe they're not going so well, just make dua for me, so on and so forth. Right? So this is generally the way that people interact with these type of situations or these life occasions, that it sort of depends on, they look at it through the view or through the looking glass of how they want things to turn out. Now when something happens that a person doesn't want, right? One of our mashayikh, he actually said something very beautiful. Or one of the mashayikh, they said that even the alley dog, right, knows patience. Even the alley dog knows patience. What does that mean? Meaning that when something happens that you don't want or that you don't like, and you're patient in that type of situation, well, even an alley, what else are you going to do? Because you don't have a choice, right? Even a dog knows that. Right, if it doesn't have any food, it doesn't have any food. What is it going to do? He might moan, whine, or cry, but it's not going to make food come in front of him. Right? It's just the situation is such. And so ultimately, whether one likes it or what doesn't like it, they're going to have to basically endure the situation, bear the hardship, and remain patient. Right? Because there's volitional patience, and there's patience that's totally out of your control. Right? If someone is beating you, right, you can be volitionally patient, or you have to basically endure it anyway, which is a type of patience as well. So he said that even the alley dog knows shukr. I mean, even the alley dog knows sabr, right? We are people of shukr. So the people who are drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they confront some type of situation, when they come across something in life that is according, that is not, that is disparate with what they desire to happen in that situation, our response is not simply that of sabr. Right? Yeah, right? We do sabr as well, but we actually show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a hidden and divine wisdom behind the occurrences that occur in the world around us. And oftentimes, people aren't able to discern or realize what that wisdom is. And maybe your entire life will go before, and you might never understand that wisdom, but know that there is a wisdom. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ Right? تُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ That you exalt, you raise, right? You honor whom you will. وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ And whoever you will debase them. Right? بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ But in His hand is only good. Meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to do something, right? Even on the surface of it, even though it may seem that the situation or the circumstance is not good, there's rahmah in that. I mean, look, if everyone in the world were to get married to their first love, right, how many divorces must there have been in the world? Right? There's a rahmah in that. When a person doesn't, when it doesn't work out with that person X, Y, and Z, then person thinks, oh, my life is coming to an end, and the girl's thinking, oh, I really wanted to marry that person, right? And you know, in the third world, like in Pakistan, there's like so many stories, right? The guy is ready to do khudkhushi, and you know, the girl is ready to, you know, do suicide now because my whole love was for this person. But then later on, 4 or 5 years, they're like, I'm so glad I didn't get married to that person, right? I would have done suicide if I got married to that person. That's what they think later on. So on the, when things turn out in bad on the surface, right, doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad. So I wanted actually to spend a little bit of time talking about how to deal with life situations and how to judge life situations through a different looking glass than just based on what we desire. Understand that how things look on the surface has no bearing whether or not that thing is good or not. If you look at a glass, this you know, this bottled water, inside, right, you don't know if the water is salty or if the water is sweet, right, if it was unlabeled. On the surface, it would look exactly the same, right? But if you taste it, it would have two completely different effects. Similarly, when you come across situations in life, a situation on the surface, right, might seem very bad, but in reality, it might be very good. أَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَسَىٰ أَن تُهِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Perhaps you dislike something, right? And actually there's good in it for you. وَأَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا. And perhaps it is that you actually love something, you like something, you desire something, right? وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And in it, right, while in the circumstance that there is shar in it for you, there's evil in for you, right? Wallahu ya'lamu. Allah knows. Wa antum la ta'lamun. You guys don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. So we have to bear in mind that that's the situation. So then the question arises, how do I know when something is good and how do I know when something is bad? Know that when something good happens, there are three categories or three situations why that good might come to a person. Right? What, on the surface it seems good. Well, what is the reality of that? The reality could be, number one, it could be ajilatul bushra, that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives glad tidings to a person ahead of time. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a lot of good waiting for that person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds that person in regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that individual, and sometimes there's a, you know, a preface to that good that's going to come in the future in this life itself. Example, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show a person in a dream Jannah, right? Either they're shown their place in Jannah or someone else is shown for that person. It's a preface to inshallah what awaits that person in the hereafter. Or for example, we know from hadith that if a person completely doesn't expect praise, they don't have any, they're not looking for praise, they think that they're the worst person, so on and so forth, and then out of nowhere someone comes and says something nice to them, right? And then somewhere inside they start feeling good. Sometimes people get very scared about this. They say, oh no, I have riya, no, I'm showing off. Understand that feeling good, because you didn't do that act for anyone other than Allah. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises you ahead of time through the mouths of people. Right? And we know from hadith, this is ajilatul bushra. This is a glad tiding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending forth in this world. Right? So that's one category of sometimes when things go good. So then that fits, right? On the surface it looks good, and in reality it's good. But there could be the diametrically opposite situation as well. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Do not think that those people that we give good to them, right, because we like them, right? Movie stars, living it up, nice car, many women, right? Or that person in your class getting all the girls, getting all the dates. That person, you know, money is just flowing in from somewhere, promotion after promotion. You're like, wow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must really love that person. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Don't think it's good for you, right? Shortly put, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a long rope so that they can hang themselves. Right? لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the doors of the dunya on them so that they can engage in more sin, so that when it comes to the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can really punish them. Right? No, يَا خَفِيَ اللُّطْفِ أَدْرِكْنِي بِلُطْفِكَ الْخَفِي. How subtle is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's test? On the surface, the person might think, oh, Allah loves me, and oh, God loves me, and oh, things are going so well, and Jesus loves me, and everything's beautiful. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just setting them up for punishment on top of punishment on top of punishment in the akhirah. So know that just because things are quote-unquote working out in life, doesn't mean anything. It could be in this category as well. And then the third category is when a person does a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can either reward that good deed in the akhirah, or He can reward that good deed in this world. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the reward of that good deed, instead of giving it in the akhirah, He actually gives it in this world. So a person might think, oh, that's awesome, right? I'm so happy I'm getting so many good deeds. But this is not how the Sahaba thought about these things. If they would drink cold water, they would start crying. Right? They would start crying because they're saying, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving my good deeds in the akhirah, He's just giving it everything here and I'll have nothing when I go to Jannah. These were the sons of the akhirah. They were the children of the akhirah. They had their eye on the prize and they knew very clearly what they desired and what they sought. Understand that if you owned all of St. Louis, Missouri, right? It's not equal to even what the least person, or even a tenth of what the least person in Jannah will have. Right? It's just empty dreams, and no one of us, right, will ever own all of Missouri. Right? Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. Allah mashallah, except for whatever Allah wills. So when things on the surface might seem good, they may be good, they may not be so. And similarly, when things on the surface look like they're going bad, on the surface they think like the things are just not working out. So how do you deal with that situation? Is it good? Is it bad? Well, it could be both. Right? It could be both. So there's, on the good side, there was three possibilities. On this side, on the surface, when things look bad, there's two possibilities. One possibility is that it could be imtihan. Right? It could be imtihan. Meaning it could be a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is a test good or is a test bad? Most of us would think that a test is bad. Right? Because a test is uncomfortable, a test requires work, a test requires mujahada, a test requires, being suffering, right? Anyone who studied for boards or MCATs will attest to the fact how, unsettling studying is, especially when you're studying day after day for hours after hours, and you're just like, this is not for me. Sometimes it makes you think, twice is, do I really want to become a doctor? So is tests good or are they bad? The answer is that tests are good. A test is good. Because without a test, you can't move on to the next level. And you see that throughout life. A person doesn't graduate first grade until they pass the first test. They don't graduate from junior high until they pass the test. You pass the test, you go to 9th, then 10th, right? You don't pass the MCAT, you're not getting to med school. You don't pass your boards, you're not going to get your residency, right? You don't get your, you pass your actual medicine boards, right? You might not have, admitting privileges at a certain hospital. Whatever the case may be, the whole world works on tests, right? Because they want to see if you have proficiency. And, tests are so valuable in the world. And, even though people don't like them, people know that they're good. You know why? Because they're ready to pay $400 to take the MCAT. Right? They see it as a privilege to actually be able to sit and take the exam. Right? When you're actually taking your boards later on, $2,000 to sit for the exam. But people will pay it, and if they fail, then they'll pay again to take it again. Why? Because they know that if you pass it, there's something waiting on the other side. That's why we know, right, as it comes in hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those whom He loves. So if a test comes your way, it's not a bad thing. Right? It's not a bad thing, it's actually a good thing. In fact, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise, some person might think that, why does the innocent woman get raped? What does she do? Or why does the young boy who was crossing the street, he just gets hit by a car, uska kya kusur tha? The idea is that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by putting a musibah on an individual, raises that person to such a status in the akhirah that if they were left to their own devices in this world, they would never have reached that state. They never would pray the hajjud. They would never have prayed 5 times a day. They would have actually been engaged in all types of sin. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a musibah on that person, not because He hates them, but because He hopes to purify them. Even in the musibah, there's rahmah. Right? People see that as a bad thing, but no, because they only think in terms of the dunya. But we think about things in terms of the akhirah. Imagine the person who will have so much difficulty in this world. Person might have been, you know, raped and murdered and this. They will just taste Jannah. And then you ask them, have you ever had any difficulty in your life? They're like, what difficulty? And a person might have lived it up, everything in the world, and they just taste akhirah, and they said, what type of, you know, comfort did I ever have in my life? It will just efface everything that came before it. So one side of that is imtihan, if something goes bad, and the other side of that is adab. Right? Sometimes it's adab. That's bad. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس, as it comes in the Quran. That fasad, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. That chaos has spread throughout the land, right? On land and sea. بما كسبت أيدي الناس, what man earns with his own hands. So sometimes, if you do something bad, right, you will have a bad effect. You do something bad, you will have a fever, right? You do something bad, you will fall sick. You do something bad, you might get into a car accident, right? I know, like, one person, he left one sunnah, right, as a person who was trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it wasn't because, so as you go higher, sometimes the stakes get higher too, right? For when you're seeking Islamic knowledge, and so he left one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right, that was considered, you know, wajib. There's ikhtilaf, but it's considered wajib. The person got into a car accident, right? Very soon afterwards. Very soon afterwards. So sometimes you see that. That's clearly an adab, right? It's a punishment. It just hits you right in your head. That wake up. And even in that, sometimes there's rahmah because it wakes you up. Then, so it would be unbecoming, perhaps, and it wouldn't be fair of me to just leave people and say that there's 3 possibilities on this side and 2 possibilities on this side in reality, and you just go figure it out. Right? How would you ever know? Is it one of one, two, is it A, B, or C? Is it, you know, A or B on the other side? Very simple way to ascertain whether or not it's good or bad for you. On the positive side, look whether or not that ni'mah is taking you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Right? You get a promotion at your work. Right? When you get that promotion, you have extra money and you're giving extra money in sadaqah, then inshallah, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hopes and will something good for you. You get that promotion and you get so busy that now you don't have time to make it to Jummah, take a step back. Right? Be very careful that that might be imla. That's what we call istidraj actually. Istidraj. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving someone rope to hang themselves. And on the other side, how do you know if something is imtihan or musibah? Same thing. If that thing takes you closer to Allah, right? Your wife falls sick, your children fall sick, you're making dua, you're trying to get closer to Allah, you're like, man, I have to change my life, then know that inshallah that is an imtihan. But if that same musibah comes, and you get so busy, you used to pray 5 times a day, now you don't have no time for prayer. Right? You used to fast in Ramadan, you don't have time for fasting in Ramadan. You used to read Quran daily, now you don't have time for Quran. Know that that might, very well might be an adab. Right? Very well might be an adab. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to view things not according to how they seem on the surface, right, in a shallow manner, but allows us to understand the haqa'iq, or the reality of every situation. And may He always keep us in a state. May He always keep us in a state that is always drawing closer to Him. So actually there should be a point of action, right, before we end. So how do you deal with those type of situations? Say it's in haqiqah, it's actually good for you, then you should say Alhamdulillah. Right? So simple, just say Alhamdulillah. It might seem such a simple word, but it has a lot of weight to Allah. And if it's not good for you, right, and there's some musibah that's affecting you, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking you on, you know, giving you a lot in this world, not to give you in the hereafter or the like, then say astaghfirullah. Right? Say it like you mean it, and keep on saying it, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. Your entire life, right, so this is the take-home message from today, one's entire life is between Alhamdulillah and astaghfirullah. Right? It's very easy to remember. Your entire life should be between alhamdulillah and astaghfirullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that life. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.